Welcome to Willow Creek Fellowship in Plano, Texas. Here now is our senior pastor, David Applegate.
It truly is amazing grace, isn't it? That overcomes all of our sin and all of our shortcomings, and that's what we've been looking at in the book of Ephesians. In a book by Chris Vollaton, on spiritual warfare, he actually is using, of course, the book of Ephesians as his text for teaching. And he observes that there are basically three aspects of the Christian life that are recorded in the book of Ephesians. The first aspect of it is that of being seated. If we remember that in chapter 2, verse 5, it says, "Even when you were dead in your transgressions, he made us alive together with Christ, for by grace you have been saved. And he raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." This is not something that we attain to. This is not something that we work for. This is what God does for us and to us, as the song says, when we first believe, that moment we first believe. And so this is a time when we see ourselves seated with Christ in the heavenly places, we understand all that he has done to us, that he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing, that he has given us the pledge of the Holy Spirit by whom we were sealed. He has given us everything that we need pertaining to life and godliness. That's why Paul in Colossians says, "Set your mind or your affections on the things above, for Christ is where Christ is, not the things that are on the earth, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God." Our life is hidden with Christ in God. That word hidden means to be kept or to be secure. I'm getting rid of this thing. It's turned me off. We're still trying to figure out where the bug is. And if you've ever done mechanical work, you know that trying to find an electrical glitch in your car is near impossible because they're like chasing a ghost. So they're still working on it. Is this thing hot? So they can hear me over there? Okay. So, we are to set our minds on the things above because that's where our life is kept in God. That is something that he has done, that he has brought to pass for us because of our faith in Jesus Christ and because we have placed our faith in the one who has purchased our salvation. This part of the Christian life is really just resting in him, as Hebrew talks about resting in this blessed hope. But he also talks about walking. That's the second aspect. And it's just a few verses later where he says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." Salvation is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. Then in verse 10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we should walk in them." And then again in chapter 4, verse 1, he says, "Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called." So there's an aspect of walking. Due to this great salvation that we have, we are to walk. We are to live out our salvation toward the church and for those outside the church. We are to find ourselves being humble and gentle and patient with one another, with those in the body of Christ. We're to love the body of Christ. We're to lay aside the old self and put on the new self. Remember, we've talked about all this. We walk by the power of the Holy Spirit, by whom we were sealed. We are serving in the body of Christ. We are imitating God as children of light. We walk as wise men, not as unwise, making the most of the time because the days are evil. We are living godly lives in the church and in our families and in society because of the salvation that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's walking and living it out and before men and before women. But there's also a third aspect that brings us to our text today, and that is the aspect of standing. We are to stand. Sometimes we rest, and we just rest in Christ. Sometimes we work as we walk. We perform the good works that God has given us the ability to do. But sometimes we are faced with attacks from our adversary. Sometimes we find ourselves being accosted and being attacked by the rulers, the powers, the world forces of this darkness, the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly realm. We spoke last week about, or the week before, about who the enemy is. We need to know who our enemy is. And we identified and even exposed the devil and all of his angels and how they attack us. And Paul tells us for making this stand, for standing, there are three major components found in our text in chapter 6. Let's read it together again. We're only going to get through verse 13. I know we're wanting to get to the armor of God, and we're going to get there, but we need to lay the groundwork first. He says, finally, in verse 10 of chapter 6, finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the wicked forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, now this is the command that everything else proceeds from after this. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything to stand firm. Now that's the command. Verse 13 is the thesis statement for what he's going to say next. And then verses 14 through 18 are an expansion of that, that it explains how you do it. But first of all, we need to know three things. First of all, we know that we must never attempt to fight the fight that we are, the battles that we have before us, the spiritual warfare that we're engaged in. We never fight from our own strength, ever. Amen. We are to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. We must never rely on our own strength. Secondly, we must know who our enemy is, who the real enemy is, and the schemes that he uses against us. Many times we see people as our enemy, but what we don't understand, it's the spirits of wickedness in the heavenly places that are driving them. They are under the influence of the real enemy. And so we don't war against people, we war against those who are driving them. Doesn't mean we don't stand up against evil. When people propose evil, yes, we stand up. We point at it. We say, that's evil. Yes, we do that. That's part of standing. But that's not who our enemy is. The one who is motivating them to do evil, he is the enemy and all of his angels. And then the third thing is what we're going to look at today. First, it's not fighting from our own strength, but fighting from his. Second is actually knowing who the enemy is and the nature of our battles. And third is that we must adequately prepare for the times of battle ahead. That's what verse 13 is talking about. Standing begins with preparing. Standing is the result of preparing, as Paul points out in his letter here. knowing that we must fight from God's strength, knowing that who our enemy is. We are to take up the full armor of God and to make every preparation for the battles that are ahead. Verse 13 is the second time that Paul has mentioned the armor of God. The first time he mentions it is in verse 11. Put on the full armor of God. Why? So that you will be able to stand firm, there's that word again, against the schemes of the devil. We prepare so that we can stand. And part of that is putting on the full armor of God. This word he uses of the devil, the schemes of the devil, is the Greek word methodia. What English word do you hear from that? Method. That's where we get our word method from. And in this case, when it's talking about the methods of the devil, it's cunning, his evil arts, deceit, craftiness, and scheming and trickery. Our enemy is smart. Understand this. Our enemy is very smart. He's insane, but he's smart. He's a criminal genius, if you want to look at it that way. He's very intelligent. He's very smart. He's insane with his own hate for God. He's insane with his love for sin. He's insane in that he tried to rebel, or he did rebel against God, but he's not stupid. Our enemy has watched us, and he has studied us, and he knows our weaknesses. Now, we all have weaknesses. I've heard some teachers call it the chinch in our armor, that we all have a weakness. Beloved, outside of the power of God, we are all completely and totally helpless against him. Thank God we're not outside of him. Thank God we are in Christ. Thank God that he has provided us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Thank God that he has forgiven us, that he has sealed us, that he has saved us, he is saving us, and he will ultimately save us. He justified us when we put our trust in Jesus. He is sanctifying us now in truth, and we will be glorified with him that day, that great day when we go to be with him, when we are caught up in the air to meet him. But until then, we must be continually preparing for the battles that stand against us. If we are not prepared, listen to me, if we are not prepared, we will lose every battle. I think one of the reasons that the church in America is in the shape it's in right now is because no one has taken seriously Ephesians chapter 6. In fact, a lot of our churches are teaching today that the devil's just an old myth, that there really isn't a devil at all. It's just he's just the symbol of evil in the world. Well, beloved, I'm telling you, we looked last week, I can't remember if it was last week or the week before, we looked at who the devil actually is. His name was Lucifer. He's a person or an angel. He's an angelic created being that has an agenda to try and overthrow the kingdom of God. I don't remember who it was asked me the other day, and maybe it was even in Wednesday night Bible study, that if the devil knows the scripture like we do, how can he continue to fight? He knows he's beaten. He knows he's defeated. I told you, he's insane. He is absolutely insane. And so even though he is a defeated enemy, he still wages war against the saints. He wants to cripple us if he can. He wants to stop the work of the kingdom. He wants to take as many people into hell with him as he can, because that's who he is. He is hateful. He's a murderer. He's a liar, and he's been a liar from the beginning. And he watches us, and he knows our weakness. I like what Paul said when he talked about his thorn in the flesh. He said that God had sent a messenger from Satan to buffet him. See, the only thing Satan can do is what God allows him to do. And he even uses the enemy to correct his children. And because of the great revelation that Saul had had, he said, in order to keep me from becoming conceited and pride and reveling in pride, God sent a messenger from Satan to buffet me so that I would not be proud and of myself because of the greatness of the revelation. And he said, I asked three times for God to take this thorn from me. And he said, the Lord said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. See, some of the attacks that we have that come into our lives by the enemy, he thinks he's trying to destroy us, and God is purifying us and strengthening us and building us into soldiers for Christ. He's not stupid, but he is insane, the enemy of our souls. And since we have come to the guardian and the shepherd of our souls by faith, God has equipped us to face these attacks from the enemy. He's on a leash. And I don't know if I told you this last week or that Satan's on a leash and it's getting close to neck popping time. Herb said that to me one time. So we have weaknesses. In fact, Paul said, I will glory therefore in my weakness, because in my weakness, his strength is made manifest. His strength is put on display. It's in our weaknesses that his strength makes us to become more than conquerors through Jesus Christ our Lord. But we must prepare. We must be ready. We are not prepared to stand against him if we are not, like I think many, many Christians these days are. They're not prepared. If they're not prepared, he's going to win every time. The enemy will win every battle. But praise God, or as our Latino group would say, Gloria a Dios, we are not left to confide in our own strength. God has provided the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. And God has provided both the strength and the method to defeat the enemy every time. And that's what we're going to get to looking into when we look into the armor of God. Now this, when we hear about the armor of God, I get a picture in my mind of little David standing before King Saul. David's 5 foot nothing, Saul's 6 foot two. And Saul tries to give David his armor. It was the armor of Saul. And David couldn't move in it. He said, I don't need this. And he took it off. So when we think of the armor of God, we're not thinking about, therefore, the armor that God wears. This is the armor that God provides. This is what he is providing for us to stand against the methods, the schemes of the devil. And so because he has provided all of these things, we need to be able to exercise in them and get ready and prepare ourselves to be ready for battle. When we stand against the enemy and God's provision, we win battle after battle after battle. But we almost must realize the war has already been won. We talked about that when we talked about when Jesus put on display and publicly humiliated and defeated death, hell, and the grave. He judged sin in the flesh, and he defeated the principalities and the powers and the rulers in the heavenly places. We face a defeated enemy. I remember when I was in high school, and we were studying world history. We were studying about World War II. That in the Pacific Theater, after the Emperor of Japan had surrendered to General MacArthur, after they had made peace with the United States and the United States with Japan, they would still find little pockets of Japanese soldiers who had been cut off from the empire. They didn't know the war was over. And they kept fighting. And when they would try to come to them, and they would shoot at them, and they finally started going and getting soldiers from the Japanese army, and they would dress them back in their uniforms, and they would send them in to tell them the war's over. Well, the devil doesn't know the war's over yet necessarily, and even if he does, he's not willing to quit fighting. So in the same way, our war has already been won, But there are still battles to fight. There are still attacks from the enemy because the final judgment has not yet come. That great day when Jesus and the Father will throw the serpent of old into the pits of hell and close the door behind him. That day is coming, but we haven't gotten there yet because God is waiting. He's patient, wanting everyone to come to repentance. But we fight from victory rather than for victory. It is these battles against a very real enemy that we must prepare for. We are to take up the full armor of God, it says in verse 13. Therefore, take up, because we have these battles, take up the full armor of God. That word translated take up means to take something to myself with the purpose of using it. I don't just put it on the shelf. I take whatever this something is, in this case, the armor of God, with the intention of using it. It's something that I need, and it's something that I'm going to use. No soldier prepares for battle without first understanding that the battle will someday come. And we are guaranteed that there are going to be battles. Paul says, our struggle, our battle, our fight, right now, it applies to every believer, is against the enemy we call Satan. And so we prepare because we understand that the battle is coming. It always helps us to prepare if we know why we are preparing. Why? What is the goal of this preparation? What is the end game? Well, obviously it's victory, but Paul here says to take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist the devil in the evil day. The evil day, I think, has two connotations to it. We live in an evil day. We live in this present evil age. Don't have to watch the news very long to figure that out. You don't have to read the newspaper very long to figure out that we live in an evil age. And that the prince of the power of the air has many people that he is directing straight into hell, and they don't even know it. They think that they're being tolerant. They think they're being champions of justice and social justice and all this other kind of stuff. And they have a form of religion, but they have denied the power thereof. They don't have, they've not been born again. They, even people in many of our churches are just playing church. They're being very religious. But they're lost. They're dead in their trespasses and sins. May that not be true of anyone here. Religion will never take you to heaven. You must be born again. That's what Paul, what Jesus said to Nicodemus, a Pharisee, a very, 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 very religious man. A very good man. Who was lost and needed Jesus. And so the goal for us is to be able to resist the devil. It literally means to set one against, to stand against, to withstand, to oppose. You see, we're not to be neutral in this. I think so many times when we think about the armor of God in spiritual warfare, we as believers think that we're supposed to just try and survive it. No. We're not just surviving. That's not the church triumphant. We are to oppose him. We are to defeat him. The gates of hell shall not prevail. Remember that? Sound familiar? Does that sound like someone who's just surviving? Paul says you are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. He didn't say you're more than survivors. He says you're more than conquerors. And that's what we're looking at here. To resist means to stand up and to hold ground, to oppose the enemy. Paul said it something like this, that we are to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Every speculation and lofty thing that is raised up against the knowledge of God. We are to stand against that. We are to war against that, and we are to oppose that. We cannot just have a simple survival mentality, because that's not what God has called us to do. We are to take ground and to keep it. That's what this word to resist literally means, or to stand really means. It means to take ground and then defend and hold that ground and defeat the enemy in all of his attacks. So we are to make every preparation necessary, having done everything, to stand firm. That's Paul's command. We must be prepared. We must make every preparation necessary to prepare for the battles ahead and to keep ourselves in a constant state of readiness. It wouldn't hurt us in the mornings when we get up, before we do anything else, to in prayer put on the armor of God that we're going to look at next week. To literally prepare for that day's battles. Every day has its own battles. Every day has its own concerns. And once we are prepared, and we are continuing to prepare, and we are keeping ourselves in a constant state of preparedness, we are to stand firm. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, so that you may be able to resist the enemy in the evil day, and having done everything to stand, verse 14, stand firm. That's the idea of conquering the enemy, vanquishing the enemy, and hold the ground that's already been taken. Remember, though, we don't stand in our own strength. We stand in what God has given us and what we have prepared ourselves to use. We're going to look, let's just read just a moment what the armor looks like. Now, this is, by the way, I think the armor is what God has prepared. I think these are actually Christian virtues. I think these are actually things that Paul is looking, as he's sitting in that prison, he's looking at that Roman soldier, and he's trying to use a word picture to identify and to represent and to seal in the mind of his believers these virtues that we need to be prepared in. Look at what it says. He says, "Stand therefore, having girded your loins with the truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, take up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for the saints." See, he even closes it out with saying, be ready, be on the alert, it's coming. So as you think about these things this week, I'm going to give you time to think about them. Think about what these things are, these virtues. What does he mean when he says truth? Well, obviously, the Bible is God's truth. But that's not all there is to it. It's one thing to know the truth. It's something else to do it, right? The breastplate of righteousness. Well, we've all been declared righteous in the eyes of God. We know the gospel of peace. When we march and when we walk, our feet are ready to present the gospel. We're going to talk about that in depth later. We talk about the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. All of these are virtues. All of these have something to do with how we stand. And we're going to look at that in depth next week. Now, we don't have time to do it today. I'm sorry. I know you're thinking, oh, let's. But we'll get there. But today we are concentrating on this idea of preparedness, of keeping ourselves in a constant state of being prepared to meet the enemy in any battle at any time. One of the great reasons that we lost such a resounding defeat back in World War II at Pearl Harbor was that we weren't ready. we weren't prepared for a sneak attack. And so it was a resounding defeat. We must be prepared. But the only people, listen to me, the only people who can fight this kind of battle and who can win are those who have been born again by putting their trust in Jesus Christ, by calling upon Him for salvation and giving them new life, to turn from the old way of living to a new way of living, and standing firm in that faith that He, Jesus Christ, has paid the penalty for our sins, that He was raised from the dead, and that we now are in Him. He has forgiven us. God has wiped the slate clean. He's taken out the decrees and the writings that were hostile toward us, and He nailed them to Jesus' cross. And that those who have come to Him are forgiven. We're justified. Our Father doesn't reward us according to our iniquities or our sins, but like a father pities his children, even so He pities those who fear Him. We are under grace, not under the law. But because we have been born again and because we are members of the body of Christ, we have so much that God has availed to us, and we are to stand. Now there's a warning. When we start thinking about standing, Paul says in 1 Corinthians, as he writes to them, as he starts talking about people who have been disobedient to the word and they're being disobedient to what God has commanded them to do, Paul says, if a man thinks he stands, let him take heed lest he fall. We have to stand as God has prescribed for us to stand. We have to stand in His strength and in His provision and in everything He's given us to do warfare with. We are dependent upon Him. And next week when we start unfolding what these pieces of armor really are, we're going to see that. But isn't it good to know that we have everything necessary to stand against the enemy? I was telling our Wednesday night group last week, I've been under attack, severe attack, the last few weeks. And it's hard. It's hard to stand, but listen, in my weakness, and I've actually just gone to the Lord and said, Lord, I'm weak. I have no strength of my own. Now, it's almost like He says, well, good, now we can get something done. But we have to be prepared. Because the enemy is like a roaring lion going to and fro looking for someone to devour. It shouldn't be us. Amen. Our Father, we give these truths into Your keeping. And Lord, we ask that You seal them in our hearts and minds. Lord, let the Logos, the Logos of Your word, become Rhema in our hearts with power and strength and a clear conscience and the ability to know that You have given us a spirit of adoptions whereby we cry out, Abba, Father. And Lord, we ask that as we enter into this study of the armor that You have provided for us, that we will see it in a new light, that we will understand it more clearly, and that, Lord, we will take it up for the purpose of using it to vanquish our enemies, those spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places, to stand against them, to vanquish them, and to hold the ground that's been taken, to be more than conquerors in Jesus Christ our Lord. But Father, if there are those who are listening over the live stream, or there are those here that don't know Jesus, that have never come in faith, that have never come to be forgiven and given new life, Lord, I pray today that you would speak to them in their hearts in a way that they can understand. Show them the sacrifice of Jesus. Show them the risen Lord. Quicken it in their hearts and their minds. Make it alive and bring them to life as they receive from you with the hands of faith the free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that today in Jesus' name, that they would just simply call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. And Father, we ask now that you take this time of decision as we face the truth about where we are and what we are and who we are and the battles that are before us. If you've convicted someone in their heart of how they are to stand and they need prayer, Lord, just we ask you to give them the courage to come forward and we'll pray. But Lord, whatever you lead, may you have your way in this time of invitation as we sing this hymn in Jesus' name.
We pray the Holy Spirit has enlightened you today. Our sermons are on the internet at willowcreekfellowship.org. You're invited to visit us in person in Plano, Texas at 1804 Avenue P at 19th Street. Or visit us live on the internet Sundays at 10:45 a.m. Central U.S. Time at willowcreekfellowship.org. God bless you.